Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 28th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden holds a crucial meeting with Democrats before heading to Europe.
A key senator may be changing her mind when it comes to taxing top earners.
A surge in big tech pushes the wealth of Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk to nearly $500 billion.
And up next on the tech stage, we get earnings from Amazon and Apple.
New York Attorney General Letitia James plans to announce a run for governor. Plus, charges are possible from last week's deadly accident on the movie set Rust. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The World Series is tied at 1. The Astros beat the Braves in Game 2. The Nets lost at home to Miami.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Withum. More than CPAs, they're trusted advisors offering smart business solutions to help companies innovate, grow, and stay secure in today's complex world. Visit Withum.com for more.
And U.S. futures are moving a bit higher on this Thursday morning at 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 7 points, Dow futures up 20, NASDAQ futures up 62 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 2/32, the yield 1.55%. Yield on the 2-year this morning, 0.54%, John.
Nathan, let's begin in Washington. President Biden heads to Capitol Hill today, hours before he leaves for Europe to discuss his economic agenda with Democrats. Amy Morris has the latest on negotiations from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Just as it appeared, Democrats were gaining traction on a way to pay for the president's plan with a so-called billionaire's tax, Senator Joe Manchin came out against it, calling it divisive. And now it looks like opposition from Manchin will force more changes, like abandoning paid family leave and Medicare coverage expansion. As for how to pay for it, some of President Biden's core proposals, including increasing the corporate income tax rate, the top marginal income tax rate, and the capital gains rate, are out. President Biden wanted to have at least a framework of an agreement before the G20 meeting in Rome and the UN climate summit in Scotland. He is set to deliver remarks at the White House later this morning. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Now, the haggling continues over exactly where to raise taxes to pay for the plan. Now, Bloomberg News has learned a key Democrat may be changing her mind on what she will and will not support. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Sources say that Arizona Senator Kirsten Sinema gave the Biden administration a list of specific tax policies she will support. She would back the billionaire tax or a House Democrats-backed 3% surcharge for earners above $5 million. She'll also support a 15% corporate minimum tax rate, changes to taxes on multinational companies, a tax on stock buybacks, and increased tax enforcement by the IRS. Sinema is a crucial swing vote for Democrats. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. As the debate on taxing the wealthy picks up, so does the net worth of the world's richest. Together, Tesla's Elon Musk and Amazon's Jeff Bezos are now worth almost $500 billion. Ed Baxter has the story from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The combined worth has approached $500 billion, fueled by the unrelenting Tesla surge and the tech stock movement that sent the Nasdaq to an intraday record. The value of the two fortunes is bigger than the market value of Johnson & Johnson and about equal to America's biggest bank, J.P. Morgan Chase. Now, this is a watershed week for billionaires as a tax proposal became part of the economic plan debate, but then was dropped in its current form. Its sponsor, Senator Ron Wyden, says it is not dead, but talks have indeed moved elsewhere. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Ed. Coming up today, Amazon and another high-tech giant, Apple, report quarterly results. Let's look ahead to that with Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Supply chain constraints will figure in both companies' results. For Amazon, they translate into rising fulfillment costs and potential lost sales going into the fourth quarter. At Apple, they could put a crimp in iPhone sales. Services growth at both companies is expected to offset those pressures. Bloomberg Intelligence sees Amazon Web Services continuing to deliver sales gains of 30% plus. Apple services growth is expected to remain in double digits. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Larry. And as we wait for Amazon and Apple, Ford Motor is out with results that beat estimates. That has shares up of almost 10% in early trading. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Ford is moving forward with big investments in electric vehicles. The company attributes the strong results to a let-up in the critical shortage of semiconductors, but it does say the chip shortage could extend into 2023. Ford stock has more than doubled since Jim Farley became CEO a year ago, and the company said it plans to resume its dividend this quarter. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. So coming up today, stay tuned for some important economic data. We get the first reading on third quarter GDP at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, and Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports economists do expect a slowdown.
The third quarter forecast, about 2.6%, the weakest since the pandemic crash during the second quarter of 2020. Bloomberg Economics says U.S. consumer spending and business investment weakened, constrained by supply shortages and transport delays, the impact of the Delta variant, and accelerating inflation. In the second quarter, the U.S. economy expanded at a 6.7% annual pace, up from the first quarter. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. In Europe, the ECB is expected to hold rates at its meeting today, but the central bank will probably start laying the foundation for tangible moves in December. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reports from Frankfurt.
Investors are not really expecting any policy changes to come out of this meeting, but they will, however, pay very close attention to the central bank's language around inflation. We have seen price pressures in Europe soar in the past couple of weeks. Until now, the European Central Bank has said that these were mostly transitory and would be a one-off. Has their opinion changed? That is the question that investors will want today. In Frankfurt, Maria Tadeo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Maria, thanks a lot. Bloomberg Daybreak this morning being brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, S&P futures right now are 8 points higher. This is Bloomberg. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. A New York judge refused to pause a vaccine mandate set to take effect tomorrow for the city's municipal workforce, denying a police union's request for a temporary restraining order. Jim McCarthy with the FDNY Fire Officers Association says they're joining forces with other unions and elected officials at their next protest over mandatory COVID-19 vaccination policies.
Mayor de Blasio and the administration doesn't care about the membership. People had saved the lives in New York City and responded when they were asked to.
The FDNY's Jim McCarthy says they plan to protest this morning at the mayor's mansion. Once a COVID-19 vaccine is approved for use on young children, will they be required to get vaccinated in New York State? Governor Kathy Hochul says a mandate is on the table, but she hopes parents have their kids get the shot.
Right now, the numbers are good. We can get the kids voluntarily vaccinated. Parents will hopefully do the right thing, and I'll keep an eye on that situation.
Governor Hochul says if the infection rates go up, she would have no choice but to enforce a mandate. An American Airlines flight from JFK Airport to Santa Ana, California, had to be diverted to Denver after the airline says a passenger assaulted a flight attendant. Another passenger on board says the flight attendant was punched and suffered a broken nose from a man who was refusing to wear a mask.
If you're not prepared to wear a mask, you're not prepared to fly, is kind of the moral of the story. That was why he was angered, is because there was an impression that there might be a substance or alcohol involved.
American Airlines planned to press charges. New York Attorney General Letitia James plans to run for governor. The announcement could come as soon as today. Meanwhile, New York City public advocate Jemani Williams officially filed paperwork with the state to run for New York governor. Another race for New Yorkers that they are watching is the mayoral race. Democrat Eric Adams has a lead in the polls over Republican candidate Curtis Sliwa. Today, Sliwa will be on Bloomberg's Balance of Power in the noon hour. Authorities in New Mexico say criminal charges are not out of the question as they investigate the accident on the set of the movie Rust that killed a crew member. Officials believe that they have the firearm that actor Alec Baldwin fired and had a live round. The FBI is being asked to analyze that bullet. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's coming up at 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stanshower.
Thanks, John. The World Series tied at 1 the night after the Braves led 5-0 in the third inning. The Astros were up big in the second.
Runners lead off first and second. The 1-1 to Maldonado. And that's a ground ball for the left side, a base hit. On his way to third, Gurriel, he's around third and coming home. The throw goes toward third. As Siri gets there, the ball gets away. Gurriel scores, Siri coming home, and he will score as well. Maldonado goes to second, and the Astros lead 4-1.
Astros radio the call. Houston went on to win 7-2 the night after Atlanta won 6-2. The series moves to Atlanta for Game 3 tomorrow. Does anyone want to be the Mets' head of baseball operations? The job is still open. Several candidates have taken a pass. The latest, Milwaukee GM Matt Arnold. At Barclays, Miami beat the Nets 106-93. Bam Adebayo scored 24 points. Kevin Durant led the Nets with 25. With Kyrie Irving not playing, the Nets need James Harden to be a second scoring option, and the three-time NBA scoring champ shooting just 36%, yet to score more than 20 in a game. Harden last night had only 14. The Knicks are in Chicago tonight. The Bulls are 4-0, first time since 1996. Arizona Cardinals are 7-0. They host 6-1 Green Bay, a marquee NFC game tonight. Arizona without J.J. Watt. He's done for the year, an injured shoulder. The Packers tonight without star wideout Devontae Adams, who's on the COVID list. The season over for Giants safety Jabril Peppers, torn ACL. Giants play Monday at Kansas City. Not sure yet the status of Saquon Barkley and three injured wideouts, Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney, and Sterling Shepard. With Zach Wilson out, Mike White is your Jets starting quarterback Sunday against Cincinnati. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
John, thanks a lot. Dow futures up 22. S&P futures up 7.5 points right now. The NASDAQ futures up 64. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Nathan Hager watching a bit of a pop in the futures contracts led by tech as investors weigh earnings reports to assess the strength of the economic recovery. Lots going on in the bond market as well, with shorter-term Treasury yields rising faster than those on the long end. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up almost 7 points. Dow futures up 21. NASDAQ futures higher by 58 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 1/32. The yield 1.54%. Yield on the 2-year 0.55 now. 30-year yield 1.94%. 6:18 on Wall Street. Time for your daily Bloomberg crypto update, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. And now with the latest in crypto news. Here's Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Right now, Bitcoin has been fluctuating this morning, but at the moment, it's at about $61,000. And some analysts say they're unfazed by that recent retracement that happened over the past few days. Now, just to catch you up, it slipped below that key $60,000 level as excitement faded over the U.S. crypto ETF funding. And also, traders took profits following that record-breaking rally. Data from BYBT.com show total liquidations of long crypto positions topped $700 million yesterday. That was the most in over a month. And Bitcoin also fell at one point below its 20-day moving average. That's a technical move that could invite more selling. But again, analysts say they're not fazed by it. Now, crypto-focused capital markets platform Front Financial says the sell-off had been exacerbated by leverage. It says that there was more leverage available in crypto for retail traders than there is in other asset classes.
Meantime, El Salvador, the world's first country to adopt Bitcoin as its legal tender, bought the dip. The president announced on Twitter that the country recently bought 420 Bitcoin worth about $25 million. With your Bloomberg Crypto Report, I'm Renita Young. Nathan?
All right, Renita, thanks. Let's check in with Michael Barr for more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Breaking news, according to the Washington Post, President Biden plans to announce today that Democrats have agreed on a revised framework for his social spending plan that he expects will gain support of all Democrats. In the World Series, even now at a game apiece after the Astros won last night. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. It is 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're in the heat of earnings season with everybody from big tech to automakers reporting results. And yesterday, we got numbers from General Motors. Earnings were mostly in line with estimates, but concerns continue over the computer chip shortage and supply chain issues. Those worries saw GM's stock drop 5%. Let's get details now from Mary Barra, the CEO and chair of GM, sat down for an interview with Bloomberg's David Westin. Let's listen in now.
Supply chain problems. We've talked about it before. I know that it's continuing into next year. I guess my key question for you, Mary, is there anything at this point that can be done to speed up the time that you can get the microchips that you need?
You know, we're seeing improvements in fourth quarter. We had indicated that Q3 would be the toughest for us, and that it was further impacted by COVID. But we're seeing a stronger performance now. We'll have a Q1 will be better than Q4. It will linger into next year, and we're right now our feeling is we'll be in a much better shape in the second half of 2022. And we're also taking steps over the medium term to make sure we're never seeing this kind of constraint, not only with chips, but with other, you know, whether it's critical materials or just the overall supply chain, because we have an aggressive growth strategy in front of us, and we're going to make sure that we can execute it. So it's a near-term problem that we'll work through.
In the meantime, Mary, are there places you can save some costs? Let me give you one example, advertising. If you can't sell as many vehicles, maybe you don't need to advertise as much.
Well, you know, Dave, it's a great point. We are saving across the board. We're seeing a strong pricing environment. Obviously, we're adjusting what we're doing to match, the fact that we're selling every vehicle that we can. But also through COVID and through this crisis with semiconductors, we have found ways to make the business more efficient. We're working with our dealers to drive an increase in profitability for them, as well as improving our costs. And so across the board, we are always driving efficiencies, and that's an underlying strength of our organization, and that supports the strong earnings.
Mary, let's talk about the perhaps longer term, that's electric vehicles, something you've really embraced. You have some very aggressive goals for General Motors going out electric vehicles. We had some big news this week from a rival, starts with a T, won't necessarily name it, with some big fleet sales, particularly to Hertz. I know in the past you've been, I think, a little dubious about fleet sales because the margins get down. Where are you on fleet sales for electric vehicles? Are they different because you really want to get broad acceptance? Are you looking at fleet sales for electric vehicles?
Well, you know, if you look at BrightDrop, the commercial fleet and what we can do from a light commercial vehicle perspective with BrightDrop and the whole ecosystem that we'll support, I think is a huge opportunity. And that's some of the most profitable of fleet sales. We're looking at many different opportunities because with electric vehicles, you can really kind of reframe how the sales will be. And so we're looking at a number of opportunities, but I think, what we've announced is around BrightDrop. I'm very excited about that because that's just pure growth for us.
But as I understand it, we shouldn't rule out the possibility that down the road, General Motors might have a deal similar to the Hertz deal.
Well, you know, in the past, we have limited rental cars because that generally was the least profitable type of fleet sales. As we reimagine how the business will look, we're not ruling anything out.
Okay. And finally, Mary, we've talked a lot about back to the office. Since we talked last, there have been more and more vaccine mandates. Is that affecting General Motors operations? Do you anticipate it will?
I don't think it will. We'll work. We continue to encourage our employees to get the vaccine. We continue to provide them the information, from CDC and other like organizations around the globe. And we're going to work to understand how to implement the executive order from the president, but to do so in a way that our employees and our unions agree to. So once we know the details, we'll work the execution plan. But I don't foresee it being an issue for General Motors as we look at our overall labor availability.
That's General Motors CEO Mary Barra speaking with Bloomberg's David Westin. Catch more of that interview online at Bloomberg.com. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures right now, they're up 22. S&P E-mini futures, 8 points higher. And the NASDAQ futures right now are up 65 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. We're brought to you by Audi. Experience the e-tron family of fully electric vehicles at your tri-state Audi dealer today, delivering the performance you expect from Audi with an eye towards a more sustainable future.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Beginning in Washington, President Biden plans to announce a revised framework for his social spending plan. That's according to the Washington Post, which says he expects the measure to have support from all Democrats. Haley Stevens is a Democratic congresswoman from Michigan.
We're working together very closely, and that gives me some optimism, and that might get us to a place where you see some votes being taken. But a lot of members, I think, are feeling like how I am, which is I want to vote, but I want to read before I vote.
Democratic Congresswoman Haley Stevens spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
And Nathan, the haggling over exactly how to pay for the plan has been a major sticking point. But Bloomberg News has learned a key Democrat is changing her mind on what she will and won't support. Let's get the latest live now from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. Sources say that Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema gave the Biden administration a list of specific tax policies she will support. She would back the billionaire tax or a House Democrats-backed 3% surcharge for earners above $5 million. She'll also support a 15% corporate minimum tax rate. Sinema is a crucial swing vote for Democrats. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. And as the debate on taxing the wealthy picks up, so does the net worth of the world's richest. Together, Tesla's Elon Musk and Amazon's Jeff Bezos are now worth almost $500 billion. So far this month, shares of Tesla are up 33%, while Amazon has gained 3%.
And Amazon's going to be front and center again today. The company reports earnings after the closing bell. So does Apple. Analysts predict double-digit revenue growth from both companies.
And as we wait for Amazon and Apple, John, Ford Motor is out with results that beat estimates. The company's raising its profit forecast and restoring its dividend. Right now, shares of Ford are up about 11% in early trading.
And on the economic front today, we get first reading on third quarter GDP. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg predict a slowdown with growth coming in around 2.6%. Look for that data coming up at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
Well, in the meantime, John, we got some red headlines crossing the Bloomberg terminal, including earnings from Caterpillar that beat analyst estimates. Merck is also raising its forecast for the fiscal year. And the Wall Street Journal reports T. Rowe Price to buy Oak Hill Advisors in a $4.2 billion deal. Straight ahead, local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Nathan. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update being brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. Get better at giving back with your donor-advised fund. Find out more about JCF Visit jcfny.org. Let's bring in Michael Barr now to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York City's largest police union failed to persuade a state court judge to block Mayor Bill de Blasio's vaccine mandate from taking effect next week. A state Supreme Court judge denied a request by the Police Benevolent Association of New York for a temporary restraining order. Meanwhile, the FDNY union is against the vaccinations. Andrew Ansbrough is with FDNY Firefighters Association.
You're going to see dozens and dozens of firehouses close. You're going to see response times climb. It is inevitable. Lives are going to be lost. That is irrefutable.
Andrew Ansbrough with the FDNY says the New York mandate requires all municipal workers to have gotten at least one dose of a virus vaccine by November 1st. Meanwhile, a federal appeals panel presiding in another mandate-related case seemed to be supportive of arguments that a New York State vaccine mandate for healthcare workers does not violate their constitutional rights, even though the mandate doesn't provide religious exemptions. Attorney Stephen Wu argued it's not hostile to religion.
This is a neutral, generally applicable law that is sustained under the Free Exercise Clause.
Attorney Stephen Wu. New York Attorney General Letitia James plans to run for governor, according to people directly familiar with her plans. James is poised to be a top threat to Governor Kathy Hochul in the primary. Another race New Yorkers are watching is the mayoral race. Democrat Eric Adams has a lead in the polls over Republican candidate Curtis Sliwa. Today, Sliwa will be on Bloomberg's Balance of Power in the noon hour. Prosecutors say criminal charges are possible after investigators say the gun that went off in Alec Baldwin's hands was loaded with a bullet on the movie set Rust. They add that the single shot fired from the prop gun is what killed cinematographer Halina Hutchins and wounded director Joel Souza. An American Airlines flight from New York to Southern California had to be diverted to Denver after the airline says a passenger assaulted a flight attendant. Another passenger on board says the flight attendant was punched and suffered a broken nose from a man who was refusing to wear a mask.
In terms of men hitting women, it's absolutely absurd and ridiculous. Fists and violence is never the way.
American Airlines say they will press charges. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's now 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stanshower.
Well, John, some people are wondering whether the Houston Astros could win a World Series home game without the benefit of banging on trash cans to steal signs. That, of course, helped them to win the 2017 World Series. But 2 years later, they went 0-4 at home, and then they lost this series opener to Atlanta. But in Game 2, Jose Altuve doubled and scored in the first inning, later hit a home run. Houston with a four-run second inning. Dusty Baker's Astros beat the Braves 7-2.
You lose a few games, you just figured, hey, man, it's time for us to win. And like I said last night, these guys don't worry. They didn't, you know, they weren't worried about last night. I mean, some people in this room thought the series is over already after one game, you know, but it's a seven-game series.
Game three tomorrow in Atlanta. Nets yet to win back-to-back games, fell to 2-3, lost at home to Miami 106-93. Nets 1-2 on this six-game homestand that continues tomorrow against Indiana. Knicks are in Chicago tonight. The new Jets starting quarterback is Mike White. Sixth-round draft pick in 2018 out of Western Kentucky, cut by Dallas. Jets have cut him three times, keep bringing him back. And with Zach Wilson out, White will go Sunday against Cincinnati. The Jets just reacquired veteran Joe Flacco, but he's not even getting to the facility until tomorrow. Giant safety Jabril Peppers done for the year, torn ACL. Good game tonight, kicking off week 8. Green Bay brings a six-game winning streak to Arizona, who's 7-0. Nikita Kucherov, who's led Tampa Bay to two straight Stanley Cups, going to miss the next 10 weeks. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street, so it's time to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. There are plenty of names for that. We're joined by Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. You got your work cut out for you this morning, Dave.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, there's plenty of ground to cover, no question. We'll start with Ford Motor. The shares are up 11% in early trading. The automaker raised its annual profit forecast for the second time in 3 months and beat earnings and revenue estimates for the third quarter. Ford also declared its first dividend since the start of the pandemic. Got to mention Tesla, too, since we're talking automakers. It's up 3%. The electric car maker is poised to rise further above $1 trillion in market value, a milestone reached on Monday. Tesla rose 1.9% yesterday to a record after Goldman Sachs lifted its share price projection and earnings estimates.
Yeah, Dave, late-breaking news. We got Caterpillar out with results.
Absolutely. And, they're going over pretty well at this point. I mean, and why not? The maker of construction and mining equipment posted third-quarter earnings and sales that were well above analyst average estimates in the Bloomberg survey. Taking a look at Caterpillar shares at the moment, they're higher by about 2%. You got Merck also higher. The drug maker raised this year's earnings forecast after third-quarter profit and revenue beat estimates. Merck at the moment up about 1%. Northrop Grumman, not so fortunate. The defense contractor's results for the third quarter coming up a bit short. And the shares are down about 1% at the moment. You also have Linde out with results. This is a supplier of industrial gases. And even though it beat the average third-quarter earnings estimate, raised annual forecast, the shares down 0.75%. Twilio off 12.5%. The communications software maker forecast a wider fourth-quarter loss than analysts expected. Chief Operating Officer George Hughes stepped down effective immediately. And ServiceNow is off 3.5%. The provider of technology management software is lower, even though third-quarter results beat estimates. Xilinx, though, up 2%. The chipmaker's earnings and sales for the fiscal second quarter exceeded estimates. KLA, the chip equipment maker, up 4.5% after earnings. And a few other stocks taking hits. The online marketplace, eBay, down 5.5%. The medical device maker, Edwards Life Sciences, down 3.5%. The telemedicine service, Teladoc Health, down 4%. And the toolmaker, Stanley Black & Decker, down 3%.
All right, Dave, appreciate it. Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson with us this morning, looking at stocks as a whole, ahead of the cash open on Wall Street. You have S&P futures right now. They are up 10 points. The Dow futures, 51 points higher. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures up 65 points. Of course, after close of regular trading, you get results from Apple as well as Amazon.com. This is Bloomberg. And the sports report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help you protect you, your family, and your business. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. This flash is brought to you by SEI. Crises emphasize character and partnership. One mission, one community. SEI. Go to SEIC.com/IMS. Futures moving higher on this Thursday morning. Let's head right over to the First Word Breaking News Desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Nathan. That's right. Gains in the U.S. futures right now. A Dow futures up 70 points. S&P's gain 12 and Nasdaq futures rise by 75. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.54%. Gold is little change. Oil is trading lower. And Bitcoin is up by 3.7%. Japan fell 1% overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, PCE, GDP, and initial jobless claims. At 10 o'clock, pending home sales. And at 11 o'clock, the Kansas City Fed. After the bell last night, eBay gave a disappointing forecast for holiday sales. And regarding some of the earnings this morning, Merck and Caterpillar beat estimates. Northrop Grumman raised its fiscal year earnings guidance. In deal news, T. Rowe Price to buy Oak Hill Advisors in a $4.2 billion deal. And wrapping things up, Elanco Animal Health was cut to hold over at Stifel. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan?
All right, Bill, thanks. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on the terminal, S-Q-U-A, go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. President Biden plans to announce today that Democrats have agreed on a revised framework for his social spending plan that he expects will gain the support of all Democrats. The Washington Post reports that's according to multiple people with knowledge of the situation, marking a potential breakthrough moments after months of lengthy negotiations and stalled talks. A tornado in western Louisiana damaged more than a dozen homes in a part of the state still struggling to recover from recent weather disasters. The Astros won Game 2 of the World Series last night, beating the Braves 7-2. That ties the Fall Classic at a game apiece. In the NBA, the Nets lost. The Wizards beat the Celtics. In the NHL, the Bruins lost. The Capitals lost in OT. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Economic statistics are largely positive right now, but many media descriptions and popular impressions are far more negative. Why? For one thing, Donald Trump and Republicans who now talk like him only know extremes. For them, the economy has been absolutely terrible ever since January 20th. This matters because many in the media are reluctant to adjudicate claims from politicians and will settle for describing reality as halfway between whatever the parties say it is. So extreme claims wind up moving that average. That's before another media bias kicks in, that all economic news is bad. It's not an absolute rule, but there's a strong tendency for the press to see the downside of even seemingly positive developments. What else? Democratic presidents may hesitate to claim too much credit for the economy because their strongest supporters may press them to recognize those still suffering. Of course, the economy is hardly perfect. But yes, there's a significant gap between the media's pessimism about the economy and the objective statistics. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked the top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The head of the United Nations says a leadership gap is undermining the world's efforts to curb global warming days before presidents and prime ministers from around the globe gather for a climate summit in Glasgow, Scotland. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says time is running out to cut greenhouse gas emissions and meet the goals of the 2015 Paris Accord to avert global warming that he says could become, quote, an existential threat to humanity. British lawmakers are set to grill Facebook and other tech giants today over how they handle online safety as Europe's efforts to regulate social media gain momentum. Representatives from Facebook, Google, Twitter, and TikTok will be questioned by members of a parliamentary committee that's scrutinizing the British government's draft online safety legislation. And the combined net worth of Tesla CEO Elon Musk and Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is almost $500 billion this morning. That's thanks to the rally in Tesla shares and a broad surge in tech stocks. The value of the two fortunes is bigger than the market value of Johnson & Johnson and about equal to that of America's biggest bank, J.P. Morgan Chase. That is the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
All right, Nathan, thanks. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:52 on Wall Street. And it's time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include a story from the Washington Post this morning that the president will announce a Democratic agreement on a social spending plan this morning. Senator Sinema also offering support for taxing top earners in the Democratic plan. And the president preps liberals for a letdown. And also, Mr. Biden lacking crucial climate deal he sought as COP26, the summit, nears. Let's find out more and take a deeper dive into some of these stories this morning with Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Emily, thanks for being with us. Coming to an agreement on a framework on President Biden's social spending plan. It's been a little like herding cats, and the Washington Post this morning would lead us to believe that the cats have now been herded. What do we know?
Well, we're going to see some herding today when President Biden is expected to go to the Capitol. Democrats are meeting this morning. This is a little bit like deja vu. Remember last month when Democrats were facing another self-imposed deadline to get this done, President Biden went to the Hill. He was able to make some progress. He was able to unite Democrats behind some of the more difficult components. And now more progress has been made. We definitely have a better sense of what policies are in and out of the bill. At the same point, there's still lots of question marks around various parts of the bill. exactly what the revenue components will be, exactly what taxes will be in there, exactly what climate proposals will be in there. And so there's still a lot of work left to do, and it'll be very interesting to see what, if anything, results from Biden's meeting with Congress today.
It's really been scaled back, though, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you've had things like 12 weeks of paid family leave go down to 4 weeks of paid family leave. And we heard yesterday that there's a good chance that paid family leave is not in there at all. You had the major clean energy program taken out. You had the corporate tax taken out. Then you have the billionaire tax put in and the billionaire tax taken out. And so there's been a lot of really quickly moving components here in putting this legislation together, which is why it's going to remain to be seen exactly what Biden is asking from lawmakers today, if he'll ask them to go forward with an agreement on the framework that he is going to bring them, whether he's going to ask them to pass that infrastructure bill that's been waiting in the wings for House action. Definitely we'll be paying very close attention to what happens this morning in that meeting.
You know, with a scaled back package like this, are you kind of surprised we haven't heard more from folks like Senator Bernie Sanders?
I mean, look, I spoke with Senator Sanders last night. We've spoken with other progressive members of the House and the Senate. They're not happy. They're definitely not happy. But they also have been having this dialogue with the White House, where the White House has told them, look, yes, we're not going to get everything we want in this package, but it is still a $1.75 trillion package. It still has huge, huge incentives to help Americans and to address climate. And even though it's not everything they want, to not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And I have spoken with some progressive members who have talked to me a little bit about, you know, how they can see what the White House is saying and how they do have to deal with the reality that Democrats only have a 50-vote margin in the Senate, and that means that if one senator opposes to anything in the bill, then that's not going to be able to pass.
So they're not happy, the progressives, but you're saying they're realistic?
Yes, they are. They understand the reality of the situation, and even though they're not very happy about it, they have to accept the reality in front of them, which is that Democrats don't have enough votes to overcome a filibuster and don't have a single vote to lose in the Senate.
Hey, with the time left, can I real quick, the COP26, as the president heads to Europe, what does he bring to the table? Doesn't sound like much.
Once again, I think that's going to be something that's answered today. What ask is President Biden making of the lawmakers that he meets with? Are they going to be able to pass something on that infrastructure bill and President Biden can take some of those proposals with him? Are they going to announce an agreement in theory on the social spending and welfare plan, which means that Biden can go and talk about the climate provisions and that? We just don't know yet exactly what is going to result from this meeting today. But if Biden can get public buy-in by Democrats on the plan that he is bringing them, then that might be something that he can parlay into a message at COP26 about what the U.S. is doing on climate change and why the U.S. can once again be a world leader when it comes to reducing emissions.
Emily, always a pleasure. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, and you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. A reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures right now 86 points higher, up about 0.2%. After yesterday's sell-off, S&P E-mini futures, they're 13 points higher, up 0.3%. And NASDAQ E-mini futures up 80 points. That's up 0.5%. Just ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.